Hey guys, it's me, CTG Aria, founder of CoolTransGirl.com, and today is episode 7 of my podcast, Cool Trans Girl. For those of you that are new here, essentially I create the content I wish I would have had access to earlier in my transition relating to mental health, wellness, and spirituality as a trans woman. Today is a very special episode because it is my first interview on this podcast, and I talk a lot about healing through community, so I am bringing the community to Cool Trans Girl. So without further ado, I would like to introduce the singer, musician, DJ, event producer, performance artist, actress, multidisciplinary, really hard to say that word, and she's fresh off the release of her new album, HR Terror. She is Angel. Angel, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. Thank you so much for being the first girl to be on my podcast. I feel so like just happy to have like another trans girl on here and to be challenging myself, you know. And I also am just like so inspired by the work that you've put in, and for those of you that have not listened to her new album, it's fucking amazing, and it has this highly curated, beautiful aesthetic, and I'm gonna let her talk more about that in just a second. But to start the interview off, I just, you know, I think the girls would love to hear a little bit about your background and you know, what has like led you to this moment and where you're from and how you ended up in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be your first interview guest on Cool Trans Girl. So for those of you who don't know, I am originally from Sydney in Australia, which is like halfway around the world in another like different equator where the toilets spin a different way.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do. Because the equator, science and shit.
Wow.
You know.
And she's a scientist, guys.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. So yeah, I spent my first 19 years of my life there. Basically, it was a really boring ass place. Australia is a beautiful, beautiful continent that is like aesthetically wonderful, but the people who inhabit it, no tea, no shade, are like the color beige, you know, which can be gorgeous, but in this sense, I mean like devoid of life and a lust for life. There's definitely a lot of tall poppy syndrome that I experienced back home, which is basically like, you know, they shun you for having dreams. They shun you for thinking big. So basically for trans women, that's like really difficult. And differently to America, which is infused in queer history, you guys have like a very elaborate, researchable and acknowledgeable history of queer resistance, queer joy, trans power. Australia does not have that as woven into its tapestry as this country did. So growing up was difficult. Growing up always felt like I was shining a little bit brighter than everyone around me, but that was a bad thing. And I grew up in like the coolest, most queerest, like hippest part of Sydney that you could grow up in. The most like, I guess like,
Progressive,
like, space, and it still wasn't able to, I think, accommodate my expression of who I was and my exuberance. Mm-hmm. So I always knew that I wanted to leave, and when I was in, like, the 8th or 9th grade, I was watching Gossip Girl, and I was just like, I am gonna go there. I wanna dress, like, fancy and be on the Met steps and like a big city and like feel the drama of life. And like, I just always knew that that was a place that I belonged in. Mm-hmm. And so similarly around that time, I discovered Drag Race, and which, you know, that show aired on TV in America, but back home, nobody knew about Drag Race. It wasn't airing on any TV programs. I was just like torrenting it off like fucking Megashare or like 123 Movies. Uh-huh.
Did you get a virus?
I didn't get a virus. Period. No, it was the virus was my love for drag. Okay, it like yes. infected me that way.
Period.
So basically that was just me seeing expression mm-hmm. and life and fun and costumes and character. I was like, oh my god, bitch, I need to like feel that. So from there I went on and started researching queer history. You know, I found Paris is Burning at a very young age. I found The Queen at a very young age. All these kind of like seminal documentations of queer life that existed in America, which just did not exist back home. And I was just fascinated by all these wonderful people who were trans and dressed up and glamorous. Mm-hmm. And so I became like enthralled with this idea of queer trans glamour and also revolution, finding Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera, like reading about these stories at a very young age, it really did determine my goal towards wanting to come here. So that was probably my biggest driving force. And so when I graduated high school, I was auditioning for acting schools over here mm-hmm. and luckily got in and just like at 19 moved countries like by myself, just like wow. worked three jobs, like saved like so much fucking money, like, and just came over here and started to live my dream. So that's how I like really ended up here.
That is such a beautiful story. I'm curious, like, so did you realize you were I mean, I feel like we all have this like feeling in the back of our minds that's like, we know it's just a matter of like when we're willing to like mm-hmm. accept that within ourselves. Do you think it wasn't until like you had come to New York that you were like, this is who I am and this is for me? Or were you kind of like already like on the fence about it when you were back in Australia?
back home. I don't think I felt the freedom to be whatever I wanted to be mm-hmm. until I moved to New York. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went through the whole gambit. I went through every iteration of pronoun that there is. I did, you know, the he, him, he, they, them, mm-hmm. they, she, they, she, her. I did the whole pipeline. But that didn't really start until I moved to America. And I moved to New York because I just started feeling freer about expressing myself, however that was. I didn't actually discover and make the, you know, the switch deep inside, the big emotional change until the pandemic happened mm-hmm. and I went back home mm-hmm. and I was just kind of in this cocoon, like, with all this time to think about myself, and I just went through this metamorphosis and just kind of took the jump before coming back to New York in 2021. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. I would have thought that I would have transitioned in New York and found that in New York, but mm-hmm. I ironically like started my transition in the place where I felt most trapped mm-hmm. From my childhood.
No, that's like really interesting that you had to go back home to sort of like have this metamorphosis. And I feel like, I don't know, sometimes even though like going home can be like so grounding, and when you're like around your family, because I had this like weird spiritual awakening recently when I went back home, where I just like uncovered so many things about myself, even though like I knew that I was trans. But I think it's in those moments where you feel you realize like what's missing from you, that you're like, oh, this is what I really want, or this is like who I really am.
Yeah, I mean, even when I was back home, I moved out of home very mm-hmm. quickly during the pandemic and was living with friends mm-hmm. and had started doing drag like professionally at that time.
Period.
In the very small, tiny, boring ass drag scene that exists mm-hmm. in Sydney. It's terrible. It's like not even like fucking anything. If Drag Race Down Under has shown us anything, it's not worth a watch.
No, so, I feel like drag really is like the segue into trannyism. If you guys,
for a lot of them. Yeah.
If you guys watched my episode last week where I talked about like my story, my transition story, like I had also like I did a summer of drag in Bellingham, which is like this tiny ass like college town, and like my makeup was so fucking busted. My wig though, gorgeous. Oh, that she had a little blonde and bouncy wig. But yeah, no, it was like when I started cross-dressing.
Right. Okay.
And I was like, Wait a minute. You're like playing with your hair afterwards. Right. You're like feeling your fish a little bit. So is that kind of like how it was for you?
No. Okay. My drag back home was non-binary as fuck. It was Club Kid. It was inspired by Klaus Nomi, Lee Bowery.
Okay.
All these like gender fuck icons, because that's what I was so inspired. And I actually started going by the name Starchild, which was, I called it the love child between Ziggy Stardust and Lady Gaga, which are two of my biggest inspirations in life. Mm-hmm. And so I was basically this alien creature, and I would paint my face with all these crazy alien mugs. Mm-hmm. I did drag king stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I was really running the gambit and honing in my makeup skills. That's what, like, quarantine really did for me. I mean, I started doing makeup when I was 15, so I looked like busted when I was young. So by the time I started like going out doing drag, I knew I looked good.
Period. it wasn't like that's a man, Maury.
No, it was like that's a thing.
Yeah, that's a
thing.
Period.
But the fish didn't really come until I moved back to New York, and I started doing drag with the iconic House of Quench. Which, you know, we were a very prolific drag house, I would say, over the pandemic and shortly coming out of it. They really gave me a space here to just, like, show my trans excellence. And basically, when I came back from starting my transition, doing my non-binary gender fuck stuff, I was like, wait, now I just want to be pretty. And I was like, I've done all this beautiful, poetic, like, high art drag, and I was like, no, I just want to like take my clothes off.
I
just want to get body and like long hair and gorgeous and like soft, subtle, like soft glam.
She wants to give woman.
Yeah, I just wanted to give woman.
Do you think that like House of Quench, like were there girls in that house that like made you realize that, or were like mothers to you within that?
I would say that already coming into it, my makeup skills were top tier. So I was already kind of able to give the top tier eleganza, but definitely we were just a house of like every expression of transness that you could imagine. So it wasn't more so like we were an army of these women. We were, you know, trans mask, non-binary, trans femme, like all the iterations of like expressions of gender. So it more so just made me feel like, oh, I'm going to do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
And definitely, I would say one of my sisters, Paris Lahomey, an amazing drag queen, another trans woman, she definitely allowed me to feel my oats and feel my womanhood with her. Also, some of my notable other sisters, Sue Intuit, who is an amazing DJ and event creator. You know, she was another trans woman there. One of my best friends, Carmen DeCristo, Photo DeCristo, amazing trans woman. So, yeah, I was surrounded by every aspect of transness, but I definitely got a lot of sisters out of it that made me just feel so happy, finally, that I had found that community of trans women and trans people that were just authentically living, which is what I wanted.
Exactly.
That's what I wanted when I was, like, in the 8th grade, 9th grade, seeing these, like, all these things on my computer screen. That's like
trannies.
Yes, trannies. And I just, like, that's what I was searching for, and coming back in 2021, I really found that.
I think it's, like, so important to see, like, other trans women, like, thriving in order for you to, like, see yourself in that light, because I feel like, the narrative that has been written for trans women is just, like, so sad and heart-wrenching, and basically, like, all we'll ever be is just, like, impoverished and sad, and we will never, you know, live up to our full potential, and we can't make our own money and be in love. And so to see, like, other trans women just, like, unapologetically, like, I guess, being themselves or just, you know, pursuing everything that they want in life.
Being happy with whatever it is. Yeah.
You know, and I and that's also, like, part of what Cool Trans Girl is to, like, let you guys know that, you know, there's so much more to life than, you know, any of you guys that are in a ho-dunky town right now, because we've been there, and just to, like, you know, pursue and follow your dreams, and, yeah, so, like, you were saying, you were able to to be around other trans women and find inspiration within mm-hmm. them. It's also interesting, is it Carmen?
Yeah.
I've recently been coordinating with her because I want to, she is this amazing photographer.
She's legendary.
She's been in like what, Dazed, Paper, like all of them.
Yeah, she's
Vogue.
Yeah, she's going to be in Vogue. She is.
It's happening. If that hasn't happened yet.
I actually have a portrait of myself up in my room, up in my house at the moment that she took of me.
Okay.
Right up there at the back. Yeah.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
And her partner's pointing to it. We'll take a picture of it and post it on the blog for the interview as well. I talked with her and I want her. Okay, so like guys, secretly, I've had this like dream where I become like a Victoria's Secret model. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I want her to do a photo shoot for me. Like posing as this like Victoria's Secret angel like boudoir moment, but right now that's like on the back burner because she has some surgeries coming up that she needs to take care of. But anyways, yeah, follow Carmen. And sorry, I got a little sidetracked, but we were talking about just like being in community.
Yeah, she's one of my very close sisters, and we have like ever since I moved back just really been really good for each other.
She's a fellow cool trans girl.
Yeah, she's a really cool trans girl.
Okay, so I was hoping to kind of get into your album Let's get into these cookies, girl. Mm. So your album HR Terror, which is such a cunt fucking name.
Thank you.
I want to know, because if like there is something like just so, there's just something so deeply inherently trans about it.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to ask like what your initial vision was for the album and what inspired you to create it and who you made this album for and et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Well, as the name kind of suggests, it was created because of a lot of pain. And I think it's really important that in the music industry, trans stories are able to be told and trans authenticity is able to be seen, not through just image, but through lyrics as well. Because I don't know many pop stars or, you know, famous musicians that have lyrics like I do that mm-hmm. directly talk about the trans experience.
Absolutely.
And as an artist, I've always used my identity as the basis of my creation because I feel really comfortable expressing what I'm feeling so that I can get it out and process it, and in hopes that other people can too, you know? I think that we need more spaces where, as trans women, we can acknowledge our pain, our rage, our fight, our intense feelings, and feel catharsis around getting them out. So basically, this album was a healing process for me of my trauma that I have experienced going through my transition medically over the past 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Which is, first of all, love the word catharsis, by the way. But yeah, I think that so often, like, the space that we take up as trans women is so, like catered to cis people. And it's almost like we can't even, like, talk about, like, our experiences. Like, I mean, for example, okay, Kim Petras, love her down. I love her down boots.
Yeah.
But
slut.
Slut. And she actually like is somebody who inspired my transition. But, you know, her music very much caters to the masses, which is fine.
Yeah.
We love an American Top 40 moment.
Absolutely.
But I think it's so important for us to like create art for our own community or talk about our own experiences like within trannyism. So could you talk to me about some of those experiences that helped you create some of these songs?
Well, I guess one of my favorite tracks on the album, which was one of the first ones that I made, was called Body.
I love Body, and by the way.
This song like is my just favorite. Kind of like a mantra around body dysphoria and dysmorphia and just the feeling of being in this vessel that doesn't align with me. And look, there are trans people who feel 100% comfortable in who they are and their body. Medical transition is no necessity mm-hmm. to being a trans person.
Yeah.
For me, I feel very uncomfortable in my body, and I feel a lot of pain and a lot of trauma being in something that I don't feel comfortable in a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So that song was like an exorcism of the like literal pain and discomfort that I feel. And that's why it's probably one of the craziest sounding on the album and the most experimental, because there aren't many words that you can use to describe dysphoria to someone who doesn't experience it. Absolutely. But I wanted a song that when you heard it, you felt the sound of dysphoria, basically. Yeah. And you were able to get it out, to like almost rip it out of you.
No, and I remember when I like first listened to your album and I like played that song and I was just like, first of all, my nipples got hard. But like, it just, there really wasn't, like, it really did just like embody dysphoria, because you really can't describe it to somebody. Like, cis people love to say, like, oh, you were born in the wrong body. I'm like, shut the fuck up, ho. Like, right. It's so much, like, more than that. And it's, you know, when you have these moments of dysphoria, they can be so, like, heart-wrenching and painful and soul-crushing. And I don't think that, you know, a lot of people, like, understand, like, the pain of it. And then you also have all of these other things coming at you from so many different angles, and society just telling you that you're fucking disgusting, and you're just like, I just want to be like comfortable, you know, in my own body, but I don't even have the luxury of that. But God, where was I going with, body dysphoria. So what are some ways that you alleviate dysphoria or cope with dysphoria when you have those moments?
I would say fashion and makeup have been my biggest armor against my dysphoria.
Period.
I have always loved fashion, to express myself, but as soon as I was identifying as a woman, I remember putting on like a bra for the first time.
Yeah.
And I remember going to the beach and I was like, this is the first time I feel right at the beach. And it was because all those times I hadn't been wearing a bra.
The t-shirt at the beach, the t-shirt at the pool. I did that so much.
So all of a sudden, like, I found this power in dressing myself how I felt.
Period.
And so then, you know, anything that I that made me feel glamorous, that made me feel my body, tight-fitting clothing to show off my figure, wearing body-shaping garments, wearing corsetry, you know, and that's, I go to full extremes because I love glamour and I'm like an insane fashion diva. You don't need to, you know, buy a corset and body shapers if you don't want to. But for me, I have found so much pleasure in manipulating my body through clothing and makeup. I mean, makeup was my first defense against my dysphoria that I found when I was like 15 years old in high school, and I was putting makeup on and coming home and washing it off before my parents got home. Like, it just was like, oh, a little sparkle. Like, oh my God. Like a little bit of like sparkle to like light up my day. Like, and that just kept developing. And now it's just like, I can paint so many different faces on. And yeah, when I don't like what I see, I can change it.
No, for sure.
Literally with, with makeup.
Well, and first of all, if you guys do not already, like, you need to follow She Is Angel on Instagram. I will tag her below, but like, please. Seriously, I look forward to like seeing your fucking looks. Like, today I was on Instagram and I saw like your faceless look.
See,
it was so fucking fierce. But I mean, I think I met you like a little bit over a year ago, and you had like this completely different aesthetic. I also had a completely different aesthetic and a fuck ass bob, mind you.
Wow. Crazy.
Crazy. But yeah, just to see like within your own transness, I feel like just in general, like, fashion helps us evolve and helps us like change and metamorphosize into our like our full butterfly selves. Mm-hmm. Like, do you feel like earlier in your transition you didn't take as many risks with fashion before, or do you think you've always just been like, I'm gonna go for it?
I think once I moved to New York, I was like, I'm just gonna fucking wear whatever the fuck I want, and I'm gonna go for it. I was very androgynous at one point in time, right? Which I don't be calling me androgynous now. No, I hate being called androgynous. No,
literally.
But back when I was, you know, non-binary, I really was into gender play, and I think my love for drag was just that, was my exploration of gender play and dressing up the body. So wigs.
Inches.
You know, inches, crazy hair. I used to put, like, tutus on my head and, like, have, like, massive, crazy, like, wild stuff. Just anything that I could use to create a character.
I love that. Also, guys, like, I know you can't see it, but she's got, like, inches on inches. Like, there is some hair.
There's some money up in there.
There's some money up in this. I'm going to drop the address. You can rob her later.
Right,
no,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
Okay, so back to your album. After talking about body, what are you hoping trans women take from this album?
God, that's a big question.
Yeah, I know. Take your time.
I hope that they can take a breath.
Mm-hmm. Period.
And feel seen. Mm-hmm. I hope that they can feel seen and feel that there is representation of not just what we look like, but what we think and what we feel emotionally and the roller coaster that we go on. You know, I hope people feel seen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's like, there's so much emphasis on our physical transformations, and we like seldom talk about like what is going on up here. And I mean, it's like our minds just evolve like as people. So not only are we like coming of age, but we're like, you know, becoming like a woman at the same time. And, you know, the hormones like literally alter our brain chemistry.
Yeah,
and
like we're going through puberty at a later stage in life a lot of the time. And that is just not often talked about, just how crazy that feels. So a lot of the album touches on like all those kind of feelings that have come up, I guess, through puberty. There's lust, there's rage, there's anger, there's puss.
Yeah, there's always puss, sweetie.
There's sensuality, there's sex, there's not wanting sex.
Yes.
There's like the cave, like being alone, like isolation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's why I say it's like a roller coaster of the album, because it really is like crazy. It's just like that. It's just different. It's just wild being a trans woman and medically transitioning is specifically what I wanted to talk about through this. It's just like such a roller coaster experience.
No, and you really do like touch on like all of these like different emotions that like we go through. And like for any of you who are not trans that are listening to this, like think about if you were to go back through puberty, like take your ass back to like 6th and 7th grade and deal with all of those emotions all over again, back to slamming the door and being like, I fucking hate you, mom. Like that is going through that as an adult is rough.
While paying rent, literally trying to exist like as an adult. Like you're not a child. Like your parents are not like helping you out, or like you're not under someone else's roof. You're on your own.
You're on your own, and then you're like you're working at fucking shitty ass jobs most of the time.
Or you're unemployed.
You're unemployed. You ain't got a man.
Right. Like,
but you want to be loved. Like it's hard. Like it's rough. Okay. I want to talk a little bit more about like the creative process of your album. So when undergoing this like this momentous task of like creating an album, was it harder than you initially thought? And like just what was the kind of the process for creating it, and what got you to the end goal?
Yeah, it was difficult for me. This is the first album that I have fully produced myself. I have made two other projects before in my life where I was working with another producer and bringing my vision, my lyrics, and working with them to create something. But this was the first one that I sat down on Ableton with my computer and my push and made the sounds myself. And so I was basically learning a computer program, and I'm like not good at computers. Don't like computers, but I love electronic music. So it was just basically difficult for me to learn a electronic way of producing music, because I'm a pianist, classically trained. Mm-hmm. My whole life, like, I spent, like, what, 12 years of my life doing piano lessons and having such a tactile way of creating music. Yeah. And now I'm, like, sitting in front of a computer. How do I feel that same innate connection? Yeah. So it took me a little bit of time. It took me, I would, you know, there were early drafts of the album. There were early songs that I made that by the time I was, like, what, 5 months later, my skills were already better than what I had made the stuff before. So there was a lot of scrapping of old things and making things new and editing things. Mm-hmm. So the whole process took a year.
Yeah.
And I would say I wrote in bursts. Mm-hmm. I wrote a bunch of the songs and then I took a massive break and I had a massive blockage and just was like, what am I trying to say? Why aren't my skills as good as they are?
Yeah.
And I would attribute the album actually really coming together to two very close friends of mine who are also trans women, also producers. My first girl is called Clea. Mm-hmm. She's the artist, ex-Clea. You should follow her. And she was the person who mixed my album. Mm-hmm. So basically that's like, you come with the project that's produced, you come with the sounds, and then someone who mixes it is they like, put all the layers where they need to be so that the sounds sound not two-dimensional, but three-dimensional.
Yeah.
So she basically educated me on Ableton. I sat there with her the entire time of the mixing process, and we basically worked together symbiotically really wonderfully, and she taught me a lot about Ableton and about the software, and just by me watching, I was able to, like, understand what EQing was, understanding compression, all these music terms that I don't know if you understand.
I know what compression is. Okay, that's it. No, I had like.
But basically, like, really elevating the music, which is why I think the sound is so high quality, is because I actually took the time to learn and have someone who's also amazing work on the project with me. Mm-hmm. And then the other friend of mine is Violet, Ultraviolet, who I have made my previous work with, and she mastered the album. So the mastering is basically just getting the sound where it needs to be for like a professional level. I honestly like don't really fully understand it, but like she's like
she mastered the damn
She mastered that shit. She really did. She mastered all over it, literally. Honey.
She mastered it.
She did that. It was foul. But yeah, basically, like, without these two trans women, this project would not sound as high quality and have the finish that it does. So I really do attribute me putting this out as like a wonderful collaboration with two other trans women. I think it's wonderful, like, three trans women came together, like the Powerpuff Girls, and like mixed it all up and put a little bits of magic into it. And
which Powerpuff Girl are you, by the way?
I am definitely Blossom.
Period.
Just Mean Girl energy.
Yes. I think I'm Bubbles.
Yeah, you're definitely Bubbles. Definitely.
No, but that's, again, we keep going back to it, but that's why it is so important to, like, be in community with other trans women, because you can find so much inspiration from other women like you. And also, self-isolation, I think, is, like, the absolute worst, like, coping mechanism for life. So, like, if you're at home and if you're just isolating, and say you're undergoing a project as momentous as making an album, although there are periods, of course, where you, like, self-isolate because you're focused on that. But if you don't have people to support you along the journey, then, like, your project is gonna die.
And yeah, there was a long period of the year that it took where it was, like, in stasis. And it really took me meeting other people and being like, hey, I have this work. Like, do you want to hear it? Do you want to, like, help? And do you want to, like, create it with me and, like, take it to the next step? And, like, being able to do that really was the reason that I, like, got my ass off my fucking bed.
Yeah.
And put this thing out.
Because you have, like, people holding you accountable.
Period.
And you have people, you
have deadlines.
You got deadlines, sweetie. You got people that you want to, like, show the amazing work that you did. And, you know, I think we as a community can help prop each other up in so many ways. So, okay, moving forward. Next question. Okay, I'm looking at your products that you have with us.
I have a little array.
So what are... Okay, how did I word this question? Basically, what are your favorite Cool Trans Girl approved products. And by Cool Trans Girl approved, I just mean benefits trans women in some way that all the trans girls should know about.
So I take my beauty very seriously. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to go through my very extensive skincare routine, but, you know.
How many steps is it, out of curiosity?
I think probably like 7 or 8.
Period. But look at her. She glows. Thank you. She is angel.
There is no foundation. This is just skin.
Okay, period. Okay, skin.
I really take it. Honestly, girls, I cannot tell you. Invest in skincare, please. Mm-hmm. At the very least, have a cleanser, have some form of hyaluronic acid serum, and some form of chemical exfoliation with AHA, BHA, or a retinoid to wear at night. And sunscreen. Sunscreen, any dermatologist is going to tell you, sunscreen is the absolute best thing you can do for your skin. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because the first girl I interviewed for Cool Trans Girl of the Month, she was like, wear fucking sunscreen. And I need to wear sunscreen, guys.
No, you do. Yeah, no, it's really, and it might not seem important, but it's really going to make the longevity of your skin last.
Yeah.
So I picked out a few products that I think are very cool trans girl vibe that will hopefully help with little unique problems that I think we mm-hmm. find as trans women.
Absolutely.
So the first one I'm going to talk about is this Peter Thomas Roth. I'm going to put it up here.
Gorgeous.
This is a water-drenched hyaluronic cloud cream hydrating moisturizer.
The house down boots.
Yeah, she's a bit of a handful. But basically, a water-based moisturizer is going to be really good for after you've gotten your laser treatment done.
Mm.
Now, I spent a whole year doing laser, mm-hmm. and something that was really helpful is a water-based moisturizer has a really wonderful cooling effect.
Yeah.
And you want something that's lightweight, you want something that rejuvenates the skin, and these water-drenched masks, you can mm-hmm. find other ones. This is a pretty bougie brand. You mm-hmm. can find like other cheaper versions, but basically look for a water-based moisturizer because it's just going to be so nice and cooling for your skin.
Period.
Especially after such an abrasive treatment. Even mm-hmm. something like after shaving, because shaving is so abrasive on your skin. And often there were times before I had products like this that after I shaved, it would like stink.
Yeah, no, when I put on, definitely like, have
a moisturizer like that. So having something that has a really wonderful cooling effect is just going to be really wonderful for you.
Period.
Next up, speaking of shaving, we have the First Aid Beauty ingrown hair pads with BHA and AHA. Fabulous.
No, and I'm actually really excited that you have this one because one of the girls who listens to the podcast was asking me about ingrown hairs, and I recommended some exfoliants and my favorite shaving cream, but I feel... Anyways, I'm going to let her talk about it.
This is the miracle product because, look, we be shaving. We be shaving them, and like the fucking like crotchula area, your mm-hmm. fucking ass, and like the worst pain in the world is fucking red, lumpy, bumpy, fucking ingrown hairs. And basically, after you shave, immediately use this, and it will. For me, it's pretty much prevented ingrown hairs. And any time that I have shaved and not used it, mm-hmm. I've gotten ingrown hairs. And I've been like, okay, I need to do like a couple days of like putting these on. Mm-hmm. And they basically really clear it up. They're like a lifesaver. Period. And such a trick for, especially for trans girls. Because we have,
we be shaving. It's rough. We be shaving, girl.
Yeah. Another magic product is from Dr. Jart. This is the Tiger Grass Color Correcting Treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I recently found this. Mm-hmm. This is only like a little like sample bottle. So like, this is kind of like small.
She's there.
But I'm going to get the big one soon.
Uh-huh.
But basically, this is this awesome treatment that gets rid of blemishes and redness specifically. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I would wear underneath my makeup before I do concealer or foundation in like the red spots of the face. And it basically just evens out your skin tone color so that it is not bright and red, because that's something that I think can be quite unsightly sometimes.
Yeah.
You want to get that really like smooth airbrushed base that looks just flawless skin. You can wear this as like a primer almost, and it gives you a really good fierce base.
No, and I remember when I first started like shaving early in my transition, and oh my god, this is so bad, but I used a rough exfoliant on my face every day.
Terrible.
So bad. Yeah. I had like
chemical exfoliants, girls.
No skin my fucking face. I had red. It was so fucked up.
Using something that could combat that would definitely be that cream, but just basically exfoliating, please do not use rough exfoliants on your face. Get something cheap that's just like a salicylic acid is really good for reducing bumps and getting rid of like blemishes and evening skin tone texture. Using stuff with AHA, BHA, these are like exfoliating acids that are so much better for your skin than rough like...
Yeah, abrasive. Yeah.
Get that for your boyfriend, you know, who thinks like, you know, dumb shit.
No, exactly. Okay, so... we kind of touched on this already, but I do want to touch on self-care. Like, what are some self-care rituals that you have for yourself? Just to like, you know, keep your mental health in check.
I would say going to the gym has been really good for me. It was something that was like not wonderful for me when I was younger, and I like didn't enjoy like being in a space that was surrounded by so much often like masculinity.
Girl, it scares me going in there.
But like recently I've just been feeling really confident in like wearing very body shapely garments and just like feeling kind of like walking around like pussy, you know, just like a woman, like at the gym, like
going to the stair stepping, check out all this ass.
Exactly. So that's something that's been really good for like getting endorphins. Really wonderful. And then I would say, honestly, my skincare and my hair care, you know, having nighttime rituals, having masks, having like just ointments and layers and things where I can just like feel my beauty. Yeah. Really, it's like something that I have a skincare regimen, like every regimen. I have every day that I can do that just makes me feel like I'm bettering myself.
And with going into rituals, do you have like morning rituals as well? And I know that a lot of the times we as trans women can struggle with depression or getting out of bed. What are some ritual, like one, have you struggled with that in the past? And two,
yes.
What are some rituals that you may
My
have?
Ritual is Lexapro every morning. I would say, honestly, reaching out about my mental health is something that I do to better myself.
Yeah.
Going to therapy is something, I mean, I don't have access to it right now, but in the past has been like life-saving for me. And going to see a psychiatrist or being able to be prescribed medication, it's not for everyone, but it saved my life. Yeah. And so, you know, I take my anxiety meds, I take my depression meds, I take my woman meds every morning, and that's kind of like how I like...
And then she leaves the world with her pussy on, y'all, then, ready to go.
Pussy up. Mental health, a good head makes a good puss.
Period. Oh, I like that. Can I sell that on a pillow?
Yes.
That's going to be a big quote in the article. A good head is period. A good puss. Period. Isn't that how the Cobra songs go?
Yeah, right.
Okay. This is a good question. Okay, so you have a song on your album called Bad Tranny.
Yeah, that's a good
one. So you talk about a confrontation with another trans woman, and you bring up very good points about how oftentimes trans women can turn against one another. And I was actually DMing a girl about this earlier in my transition, or not earlier in my transition, like yesterday. So I wanted to touch on this. But yeah, I wanted to kind of talk about like, one, that confrontation, and why do you think that oftentimes our community can end up being divided against one another?
Yeah, well, trans misogyny is a disease, and you don't have to just be a cis person to show symptoms.
Period. Period.
Basically, last year, I was DJing a party. It was a fashion event, a rooftop like fashion event for a friend of mine. And there was this trans girl who kept coming up to me and was very insistent that her friend was going to play. And I was like, no tea, no shade. That's just like not the tea. That's not what's happening. I've got to go after this. And she basically just kept coming and coming up against me, like, just being, like, very adamant. And it eventually escalated to a point where her friend, her little Twinkie army friend, threw a drink in my face and lunged towards me, and I saw red because, like, honestly, like, I'm not afraid to, like, beat a bitch down. Like, if you gotta go, you gotta go.
I will stand up, fight back. I will knock a twink on your ass.
Yeah, when trans girls are under attack, what do we do? Stand up, fight back.
Knock a twink on his ass.
Yeah, knock a twink on his ass. And as I said in the song, never trust a tranny who surrounds herself with twinks. But basically, the next day, this trans girl starts blasting me online, calling me all kinds of really horrible things, attacking my size, attacking how I look, calling me a bodybuilder, calling me all these, like, really aggressive, derogatory male things, and just started spreading all this shit online. And luckily, all my girlies, my friends, we all, like, we came for her, we came back, we didn't, like, fucking sit back down and take it. But it was really horrible for me to feel like, here's another trans woman who feels so comfortable attacking something that she should know causes the most amount of pain to any trans woman's life is how they see themselves and their womanhood, attacking their womanhood. And no one has any right to come for any trans person's perception of themselves or image of themselves. To attack someone's image is so cruel.
It's just such a low blow.
It was such a low blow. And yeah, so I just wanted to make a song that shows to the light, but trans misogyny is something that is real. And internal trans misogyny is something that people still battle. And even though we're a community, we still face attacks from within us. You know, the trans medicalist community, I guess community if you want to say that, but trans people who basically feel that they are more trans or better than other trans people who don't choose to medically transition is a horrible tenet of the trans existence and the trans community that unfortunately exists. And so I just wanted to speak on something that most people would assume doesn't even happen at all.
Yeah. No, and I think that we as trans women know that, like, how, like, true this is, like, especially girls that are farther along in their transition or girls that are just, like, in part of the trans medicalist cult, have all
true,
of the cult have this, like, deep internalized hatred for themselves, and they've only been able to find acceptance or at least be able to tolerate themselves because they've gotten to this point of, like, passing. And it's just bullying, and it's just, like, disgusting for you as a trans woman to put down another trans woman. Like, we really do, we have so many ops, we really do need to be propping each other up, like, you know, propping each other up and cheering each other on. And also just with trans medicalism, like, sure, like, as, you know, binary trans women, we may have different experiences than, you know, non-binary or people who choose not to medically transition. But when we get into this space of talking about, like, oh, you're not trans and you're not this, like, it's the same energy as, like, cis women being like, you're not women.
Exactly.
And we're so much stronger together. And it's just, like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's really, really unfortunate. And, like you said, like, passing is not something that you need. Passing is not something that is, like, required as a trans person, as a trans woman. It's something I personally would like. It's something that I struggle with. And that I exactly would like. I go through all these surgeries. I do all these things because, like, I'm trying to just get a little bit of peace.
Yeah, exactly.
And feel, A, comfortable in my body, and B, not feel the stares of everyone else, like, exiling me as something that I don't feel like I am. So basically, for someone to come for someone for not passing is just, like, so cruel. And so you know exactly what you're doing, and exactly, you know exactly where you're trying to hit.
Because you've been through that pain, and you know that pain. And, like, you know, just to, like, you, we as trans women just oftentimes just want to be, like, left alone and to live our own lives. Please. And not be, you know, it's so, like, heartbreaking to, like, leave your house and think, like, whenever somebody's looking at you, they're clocking you, even though that's, I feel like, not the case a lot of the time. Like, people are just, like, looking, you know, people just, like, look at you, but you have all this internalized trans misogyny that we all have to work through. So, yeah, just don't bully other trans women.
Fuck that bitch. Fuck that and hoe. If you're listening, you know, there are bitches out there who know who you are.
You know who you are. Let's do better, sister.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so this is the last question I think I'm going to touch on. But any last pieces of advice for cool trans girls who are trying to build a life for themselves, or maybe that are just earlier in their transition?
Right. I would say advice would be seek out other trans people.
Period.
Find your community. That has been the best thing for me, has been being around other like-minded people, people who go through the same experiences as me. Mm-hmm. So that would be number one. I would say find little ways to feel your beauty.
Mm-hmm. Feel your puss.
Yeah, feel your puss down deep in your soul.
Period.
As Mother Ru says.
Literally.
yeah, find ways, whether that's through clothing, makeup, skincare, self-care, whatever it is, find a little hobby that is for you, that makes you feel how you are inside.
Absolutely. So well said. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, you need to stream HR Terror. It will be linked in the description.
Thank you.
I will be blasting it on social media.
Thank you.
If you are a trans girl, you need to fucking listen to it. Mm-hmm. And if you're not trans, you should still listen to it and get some perspective.
Yeah.
One last order of business. I also have a weekly wellness newsletter that is an iconic quote, a weekly mantra, an affirmation, or something for you to think about. And so, sorry, I said it out of order. Now I'm confusing myself, but it's a really great way to start your week. I highly encourage you to check it out. I think you can get a lot of value out of it as a trans woman. But anyways, Angel, CTG Angel, this is, by the way, she is the cool trans girl of the month for March. So now presenting Miss March 2024, CTG Angel. Thank you so much for being the first guest on my podcast. This is like a new era of cool trans girl. We're going to be having a lot more trans women on this podcast. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And until next time, we're going to say it in unison. See you next Tuesday. Until next time, see you next Tuesday.